Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
So, this morning, let me begin with a question. Has God spoken to you? Is the promise of God over your life? Let me ask a second question. Has the devil challenged the word of God in your life? Has the devil sought to steal the promise of God over your life? When I was a boy, I went to a church service, and one Saturday night was sat in the balcony, a great place, by the way, to drop books over onto people sitting underneath. But I was sat up there minding my own business while the preacher preached. And in a split moment, without any invitation, God spoke to me. And people always think, how did he speak? Well, like Charlton Heston, whoever he was, that's how God always speaks, with a booming voice. No, but he spoke to me. And he told me very clearly that the Christian message was true. And that Jesus is real. And that he died on the cross for me. And that if I would give my life to him, he would forgive my sins and I'd be his child. And in that moment, I believed what God, the Holy Spirit, said. The problem was that after about 6 months, the wonderful, buzzy feeling that I had slowly evaporated, and I began to think to myself, did it really happen? Did God really speak to me? Am I forgiven? Am I truly converted and saved? Or did I just imagine that? And it took my own father to sit with me and talk with me and ask me some heart-searching questions. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe he died on the cross for you? Do you really believe that he rose again from the dead? Do you believe that you are saved? And I said, yes, I believe all that. He said, then it's true. Then you are. And the devil lost his hold on me. Amen. And I thank God that I've, most of the time, walked in the confidence of that ever since. 17 years old, I was walking around the village where I lived in Yorkshire, taking our dog for a walk, and unexpectedly, God spoke to me very clearly. Told me that he'd set me apart to preach, to be a preacher of the word of God and a minister for him. And I believed it instantly. It was the word of God over my life. And then I made a big mistake. I told people. And you know Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat. You know what the brothers thought of what he had to say. I have to say, honestly, I never found a single person in those days that thought it was a good idea. Not one. But it came to pass. Many times God has spoken. Even moving to this part of the country. Many people think that Rachel and I came here because we were invited. Well, that's one of the reasons we came. But actually, we came here because one night, and this has only happened to me once in my whole life, and may God help me, may it never happen again, but I woke up in the middle of the night and had to turn to a scripture in the book of Hebrews, and God spoke to me clearly to come to this place. And that's why we came. And it was all very exciting. Long, long time before any of this was even around, your pastor sat with us and showed us drawings and photographs and pamphlets and poured out his heart a vision. And what you are sitting in today was in his heart way, way over a decade ago. Yeah. And you're all excited over what's happened in the last 12 months. Your pastor and his family have carried this for donkey's years. And so I came, we came, and it was so exciting for the first 5 minutes. And then it wasn't the devil, it was me. Did God really say? Did God really say? Well, he did. And we rejoice over all that's happening. You know, when we were called into missions work, I was the last person to be involved in missions around the world. That's what we do. We have a heart and a passion to see the nations of the world impacted with the gospel. But the idea that little old me, who had no interest in missions or missionaries, in fact, I thought most missionaries were a bit, you know, well, they were better not say what I really thought, a bit eccentric. The idea that I would be involved in missions, my goodness. And yet God spoke clearly. And then when we set out thinking, did God really say? Your pastor mentioned we live in Windsor. That was the word of God, actually, to us. It wasn't on our radar. In fact, we were thinking of going somewhere else. But God spoke clearly. And for once, you know, I mean, it's hard in Windsor. It's rough. We live in the rough end. You know, the big house on top of the hill with the flag. No, we don't live there. We live in the little house at the bottom of the hill in the servants' quarters. But I can't lie, it's still nice. But then the day that we moved from where we used to live here, the place we were moving to in Windsor fell through. And we spent a week, thank God. God, it was only a week living with my in-laws. For their sake, I say that. And I thought, what have I done to my family? You know, wife, two kids, and here we are living with my mother-in-law. God bless her. So, did God really say? But this is the point, God did say. And this brings us to the scripture. And I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3 and just make a few comments about it in the time that we have. And I want to ask the question, did God really say? Because when God speaks to each of us, wherever we are at in our Christian walk, it feels very real. But there comes a point for every single one of us that when God speaks, at some point, what God has said is challenged in our lives. And the enemy of our souls, the devil, will challenge what God has said. The devil will challenge what has been said over this place. He will challenge what has been said over you and your family and your life. And we need to know whether God spoke or not. Because if God spoke, he always brings his word to pass. In fact, the scripture says that he hovers over his word, making sure it comes to pass. But what we need to know in our heart of hearts, did God really say? Did God really say? And I would ask you to ask yourself that question, did God really say? And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 3. We're not going to read the whole chapter, just a few verses. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. Anybody here like snakes? Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, but anyway, there you go. Before we moved here, we used to be in Yorkshire in a church where one of the members of the congregation owned a scorpion. And every time I went round to visit, they used to get this scorpion out of the little glass fish tank and say, do you want to hold it? So that was, never visited them again. Anyway, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Eve, did God really say, you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden? And the woman answered the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Now, we can read the rest of the chapter at some other point, but I just want to hone in on the first question that the devil asked. Did God really say? Did God really say? really say? Notice a few things here. The question. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. It's how we learn. It's how we grow. It's how we progress and move on. Questions potentially can be a great thing. And in fact, the Bible is full of questions. You only need to read through the Psalms, and there is David or one of the other psalmists again and again. Why, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Where are you, Lord? Are you even there? And so it's okay to ask questions. The disciples often came to Jesus with questions. Thank you for that wonderful parable. Could you tell us what it actually means? The issue is not about questions. Because the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law also asked questions, but they didn't get such a nice answer. Why? Well, for two reasons. When it comes to questions, the first thing is this: who is asking the question? And the second thing is, what is the motive behind the question? Now, a godly Christian person seeking God genuinely from their heart, asking a question, is good and to be encouraged. But the devil, seeking to undermine the Christian believer and the church, questioning what God has said with a motive to undermine the work of God, that is a negative thing. And so when questions arise in your mind, all of us have to ask ourselves, who is asking this question? Two people can ask the same question. One of them can be an angel and the other can be a devil. It's true in business. It's true in the workplace. When people come up and ask the boss a question, you've got to ask yourself the question, who is it who's asking this? Is it a troublemaker or is it someone who genuinely is trying to help? It's true in your life, in your family. Who is asking the question? There are people who want to undermine your life, and you need to beware that even if it's an innocent question, it may not be coming from a great place. Conversely, someone who is for you and loves you and is committed to your success can ask the very same question and it can be a blessing to you. Is it the devil who's speaking or is it God? Did God really say? Even in church life, it matters who's asking the questions. And here's just a thought as well. Notice that even though it was the devil speaking, in a way it wasn't the devil speaking. It was a serpent. Because the devil doesn't always ask the questions himself. The devil has a crafty way of putting his words into other people's mouths. And so it looked like an innocent, slithery snake asking the question when really it was the devil. And I've been asked questions by lovely Christian people, and I know it's not their words that are coming out of the mouth. It's the slippery, sneaky devil. You can be a lovely Christian person and speak for the devil. You can, I can. And I have done over the years. Peter, one of the greatest apostles, led the church. Jesus said, they'll arrest me, they'll send me to the cross, and 3 days later I will rise again. And what did Peter say? No, Lord, never. And what did Jesus say? That's the devil talking. Now, was Peter demon-possessed? No, of course not. You don't have to be demon-possessed to talk for the devil. You just have to have your own opinion. Peter was a godly, good disciple and apostle. But on that occasion, his opinion was the words of the devil. And we all need to be careful. Either you've heard from God or you haven't. But be wary in your own personal life. I've had to learn this, that there are things in me that are the word of God and there are things in me that are just opinions. And when the devil spots an opinion in a Christian's life, he'll use it. So be careful. And here, the enemy comes. Did God really say? And the temptation is to think, ooh, actually, I don't know if he did or if he didn't. That was the ploy of the devil. And it will be so in your life. Am I really saved? Did God really say that? Did God really promise that? Did God say that? And we need to know that God said it. Notice, did God really say it? He was questioning the character of God. That is the motive behind every accusation of the devil. Did God say it? Questioning the very character of God. I think we need to know who God is. Because we have to trust him. The Christian life is a walk of faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And we may see certain things, but really, we just have to put our hand in the hand of God and trust him. When we left this part of the country and moved down south, we had a clear vision in our mind of what it was going to look like. But actually, we arrived. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know anything. And I can tell you what, it's a different world down there. They might as well, you know, forget. I was going to say that dreadful B word, Brexit. But, you know, it's another world. They think differently. We'd only been there 24 hours. I went outside, saw somebody walking down the street and said, good morning. And they looked at me as if I was some kind of criminal. It's like, are you going to attack me? I thought, what are these unfriendly people? It's just a different culture. But what we have had to learn again is that you put your hand in God's hand and you trust him. Where's the money going to come from? I'm used to having my hair cut for £4. Not 12. And they don't take much off. Cost me more to colour it than have it cut. But anyway, there's another thing. Vanity. Wow. But we walk by faith. You know, you've come into this wonderful building. What has God got for you? You have to trust him. Not everything is laid out on a plate. In fact, very few things are ever laid out on a plate. All you have is the word of God. You need to know as you come into this building, what did God say? Yeah. What has God said? You know, I've got places in this book that are underlined and circled around, and, you know, I've defaced the holy word of God. And it's the prophetic promise of God over my life and over our family's life. I noticed this morning when your pastor was taking up his Bible and reading from it, I thought, that Bible's not got much life left in it. Somebody buy him some sellotape. Because he's going to need it. Why? Because it's well read and it's well thumbed through and it's well circled round and it's well graffitied in. You should have a lot of confidence. You're being led by someone who's got the promise of God and knows what God has said. Wow. But you see, it's the character of God. We need to know God is faithful. And Adam and Eve hadn't learned this yet, but God is faithful. And if God has said it, he will bring it to pass. He's not a politician. He's God. You can trust what he says. And if God has said it, he will bring it to pass. God is powerful. In fact, as I think Lisa said already this morning, he's sovereign. God's in charge. God is not going to be voted out. He's not going to be toppled as a result of a coup. God is sovereign and you can trust him. Did God really say? One of the strange things about this particular reading that we've just read is that the devil questioned the word of God. And the first time the devil gets to work in the life of anybody, he questions the word of God. And we are living in an age where the very chapter I read from is questioned by the devil still. You can't trust that chapter. First few chapters of Genesis, you can't trust them. It's just make-believe. It's just myth. And the devil is casting doubt on this very principle that we are talking about this morning, and casting doubt on the authority of Scripture. And he has always done that. I thank God for this book. And, you know, there are bits of it that I don't understand, which is why I'm not preaching on those bits this morning. But I do know this. I've proved this to be true. I've staked my life on this book, and I followed this book, and it hasn't been easy. I would be lying if I said it was. But one thing I know is God is faithful to his word. And what God has put in this book can be trusted. I don't speak the original languages, but the English versions are pretty good, and I can stake my life upon it. And the devil wants to come and say, oh, you can't believe what God said. You can't believe what God prophetically said out of his scripture, because you were just in a happy mood that day. Or you were just kind of swept along by the atmosphere. I can tell you, if God said it, it'll happen. And this morning, it may be that while you're here in this church, God has spoken to you and the devil has come to you and said, did God really say? Did God really say? Did God really say? What are the promises of God over your life? What are the promises of God over your family? What are the promises of God over your church, over this town and community and wider area of the Amber Valley? What has God said? I think humbly I can say in our own lives that I know what God said. I may not understand what God said. I may not know how it's possibly ever going to happen. And I may not know the full scope of everything. But I know what God said. And I trust him. Because God is faithful. What's God said to you? There's just one final comment that comes back from Eve. She said, well, in response to the devil, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, don't eat from the tree in the middle. She knew what God had said. Now, unfortunately, he brought his second trick out of the bag and he got her. But at this particular point, she said, God did say. The devil said, did God really say? The woman said, God did say. And something rises up in my heart every time I doubt the word of God. When the devil says to me, did God really say? I say, God did say. God did say. There will be times in the life of this church when the devil comes to you very powerfully and says, did God really say? And you need to be able to pick up the word of God and say, God did say. God did say. God did say. There will be times in your own personal life when the devil comes to you and said, did God really say? And you need to turn around and say, God did say. God did say. God did say. Surely love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely there is a table set before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely I am anointed with the oil of gladness. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will be the head and not the tail. God is for me and not against me. Nothing in the whole of creation will separate me from the love of God. God's hand is upon my life, and he will bring his plans and his purposes to pass in my life. Did God really say? God did say. God did say. God did say. Let's stand together as we pray. I've finished. Father, we thank you that you speak. and you speak to individual hearts, as you always have done throughout, down through the generations. And as we've seen, witnessed on this stage this morning, children, parents, grandparents, in some cases great-grandparents, each generation you speak, and you speak your word into people's hearts. Lord, I thank you not just individuals and families, but to a church you speak. And the prophetic word of the Lord comes to churches. And I thank you for every single person here. You have spoken. And they know what the word of God is over their life. Lord, we know that it is challenged. But today, we say the Lord did say. The Lord did say. The Lord did say. Did God really say? Yes. The Lord did say. The Lord did say. The Lord did say. And it shall come to pass. Just as I close, it may be this morning that in this atmosphere of church, you've never asked Jesus into your heart. And you've never fully put your trust in Jesus. And I want to say to you, if you're in that place this morning, that Jesus loves you. He's real. He died on the cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. He's alive still today, 2,000 years later. And he wants to come into your heart and your life. And I want you to do something for me. When church is finished this morning and the service is closed, I want you to come and either find one of the pastors. There seem to be a lot of them this morning, all coming on the stage. Wonderful, fantastic. Or come and find me and say, yes, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I know that God has spoken to me this morning. So, Father, I just pray your blessing upon people this morning. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you that you know the plans you have for this place. Plans to prosper this place, to give it a hope and a future. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.